Hey Jen, thanks for joining me to talk with me as we are both in our seclusion. So you and I have known each other for quite some time in the marketing realm, but the last couple years you have been working on building a movement, which is the Changing Tides movement. And I want to just chat with you a little bit about the genesis of that, and then how it's grown and what that experience has been like. So, what inspired you to start Changing Tides as a movement?
That is a very good question. That's actually a question one of my contributors to the book Changing Tides asked me. She said, "So is this like what you're going to do from now on?" At my book launch, and it was sort of like we're having this, therapy session as I'm launching my book and I'm on stage. It was kind of awkward, but I love her for it. But really, the answer was is that I didn't plan this, to be perfectly honest. I didn't plan the Changing Tides book. I was already writing another book, as you know, Launching for Revenue, which you helped me to, get moving. And then Changing Tides, Powerful Strategies for Female Founders, it became something that had to be done. And then the movement sort of happened the same way. I had such strong response from female founders and realized through the research that there was this huge need to create, at the time, physical spaces for women to gather and business owners to gather together and learn from each other and make their circles larger. Because one of the things we learned is that if you take a female founder and a male founder and you sort of make everything else equivalent, that male founder will know significantly more VCs, lawyers, angels, ecosystem folks to make his business successful than she will.
Oh,
And
that's
I thought,
fascinating.
right. And I thought, okay, we can fix that.
Yeah.
That's easy, right? So if we can make that a more equitable situation where that female founder knows more VCs, more angels, more lawyers, more, banks, all those people that they need to make their startup successful, that's simple.
Yeah.
And had a huge request from female founders really to create, I think one of the competitive advantages for women is community and connection. So the movement was really how do we create more opportunities to make funders and founders come together? So that's my sort of ultimate goal. And then secondarily, how do we create these more spaces for women to gather and leverage what is traditionally our natural advantage, which is connecting with each other, creating community, and working together.
Yeah.
So that was sort of really how it happened. And again, it wasn't planned. I feel like a lot of times this whole Changing Tides experiences is just kind of me grabbing onto the reins half the time and my feet are flailing back behind me and I'm like, okay, I'm on it, I'm on it, I'm on it. Trying to keep up with the demand.
That's such a great analogy. And that whole thing of it's it was kind of driven by the demand. That's a theme that keeps popping up as I talk to people. It's just really interesting. And maybe the tide analogy is a great one for you because you're kind of riding the wave of the tide as it's
Yes.
coming in.
It is. And there's a lot of, sort of wave and water, which is interesting because I was trained as an aquatic biologist. So
Yeah.
in many ways, it feels like I'm returning to my roots, sort of like recognizing the power and the inherent strength of water, which is a very feminine essence typically.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of sort of pieces to this whole Changing Tides thing for me.
That's great. So it started with the book. And for people who haven't seen the book yet, the book is a collection of essays by, oh shoot, I counted the number. How many women contributed to that?
I think we had, I'm thinking it's 16. I'm trying to remember now.
16, that sounds right. Right. So you wrote the introduction.
14. 14.
14. Okay. You wrote the introduction, which grounded the whole thing, which gave voice to what you were doing. And then you invited 14 women to it. So it's been a community effort from the beginning, which is pretty cool.
Exactly.
But the book was the first, let's say, the first cornerstone in, or mixing water and building metaphors. But it was the first step in that movement. And now you have book circles, which was creating those spaces, that community. In the current environment, those circles are virtual instead of physical. Oh well, but that's the nature of everything. But you're not stopping, which is interesting too. So how are you moving forward through a situation in which everyone has to shelter in place?
So that's been fun the last
Yeah.
3 weeks, because really a lot of the programs and the circle that I'm the first circle, a virtual circle that I'm leading will be on Friday, the 17th of April here. But that one was always planned to be virtual, but everything else was planned to be in person. And the reason I had that one scheduled as virtual is because we had requests from folks who were all over the world. And we're like, there's no way to really make that work at this point. So let's do virtual and we'll get to sort of every city over time. But we have one that's, you know, was starting in San Francisco that started on the 6th of April. And that was supposed to be at the Microsoft Reactor Space in San Francisco, which they generously offered to us. And then we're like, well, it's just virtual for now. So, right. You know, and a number of other things. I mean, I was planning to do a summer camp here in Whidbey Island, and I'm thinking that's at this point going to have to get delayed to 2021. I'm just not comfortable doing it here.
Yeah.
This summer. And then we have an event planned for the fall, which was at Microsoft. And they just announced, you know, last week that they're not doing any in-person events until July 2021. So we're in conversation with them about how do we make that virtual. Which was funny because we had a meeting of the leaders group just the day before they made that announcement. We had no idea that was coming. And I said, you know, ladies, I think we should plan to keep working with Microsoft to do this in-person event in the fall, but let's just plan a virtual version so that if we have to, and like the next morning, Microsoft announces this and I'm like, thank goodness. And there's been a number of other things. I mean, basically when sort of COVID hit, you know, what I saw was a lot of very appropriate panic on the part of my female founders. And so we just literally ad hoc said, let's do happy hour. Let's just get everybody together and like, what's going on? What do you need? What are you struggling with? How can we help? And that has become now a life of its own. So every Tuesday, 5 to 6:30, we meet online and we have founders from all over the world who come to that meeting. Some of them are drinking milk because it's 1 o'clock in the morning for them, hot milk. So, but it's fun. And it's just, sometimes we have experts, you know, last night we had a financial expert come in and kind of talk about the various financial programs. And so we have literally been kind of reformulating all of our programs, some of which had a small virtual component, to everything being virtual, dealing with security, dealing with trolls. We had a troll, you know, register last week. We had to reorganize our links. You know, so the behind the scenes work has been tremendous, tremendous. I mean, we have been, you know, virtual for years, my agency. And so I felt like we knew what we were doing, but the scale and scope of what's needed now and the level of security, given what's happening, and you know, with folks being virtual is much more than we've had to deal with before. So we're learning really fast right now, fast.
That's, you know, you were demonstrating what every founder needs, which is, you know, this sort of adaptability, resiliency, scenario planning, all of this. Yep. In many ways, this is a microcosm of the startup experience, which is stuff happens, you have no idea what it's going to be. It's just all happening so fast right now.
Exactly. And that's what we talk about at Happy Hour, because everyone is going through this together in one way or another. And so, well, I tried this and, you know, here, if you tried this link and you've read this and you've changed these security settings. And so there's all this, you know, sharing and learning, because everyone is learning so fast right now, whether they had, you know, some, a lot, none, virtual in their sort of arsenal. Everyone's figuring it out really quickly right now.
Yeah. So let me just, hit on something that you kind of hinted at, which is that this is not the only thing that you're doing. You also have a marketing agency, right? Yeah. This is not your full-time gig necessarily, which is really interesting. So you have had to lead, but also share. I mean, the community is pulling a lot of the weight as well, right? You are truly Absolutely. Leading a movement. It's not you, it's the movement.
Absolutely. And so one of the things, when we started doing, for example, the happy hours, I was like, I don't have time to do this every week, although now I'm deciding that it's the best part of my week, so I'm there every week. But the beautiful thing that happened was sort of in the, I don't want to be the leader of this every week. I've got a full-time marketing agency that I need to be running that's paying the bills for Changing Tides, essentially, because this is my passion project at this point. And so I said, I need you to step up and I need y'all to, you know, be a leader and each week, you know, run the happy hour. The best thing about that has been that every week I get to shine a spotlight on a different female founder, on her business. And I just love like going through the Changing Tides movement feed and like seeing all these kick-ass female founders and their businesses. And I'm like, okay, this is a beautiful thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because the more we see them, the better it is for everyone else.
Yes.
And I want a steady parade
of
these women to be leading. And so we just talked about that last night because, you know, we need some more leaders because this has been kind of an impromptu thing. And I'm like, okay, well, now it's a thing. So I need people to sign up for the next few months. And a bunch of people put their hands up. And so then we get to highlight them, highlight their business, highlight what they're doing. I get to introduce them on happy hour. And then they get to lead and talk a bit about their business. And then people get to know them and then do business with them. And I'm like, this is exactly what Changing Tides is about.
Yeah.
Exactly. So again, not planned. So much of Changing Tides has been this sort of just, okay, now we're going to do this. Okay, we need this. Now we're going to create this. So now we're looking at like, do we do webinars and how do we create other places of value and other programs that are so needed right now, especially right now.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. I mean, that the movement is sustaining the movement, which is what makes it a movement and not just your personal passion project. I mean, yes, it's your passionate project, but it's so much bigger than you, which is so cool.
Right. Because I really want it to be about, you know, how do we get the resources into the hands of female founders? Because I honestly do believe that we can change the world if we have more women running companies of all stripes, of all types. If more women are running companies, we will have a very different world than we have now.
Yeah, yeah. Same thing can be said for governments, but that's not.
Yes, well, I was thinking that, you know, the governments that are faring well right now in the COVID crisis typically are run by women.
Yeah, yeah, which is great. That's great. So how do you do it all? How do you, I just have to ask you this question. How do you balance your, you know, this and your marketing and, you know, do it all?
Yeah. So yeah, I do get that question a lot. I'm crazy. First answer. Sure. You know, running Think Results Marketing, which is my full-time day job. And then Changing Tides Movement is my, you know, evening and weekend job. I think actually having written 2 books in 1 year kind of trained me for that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a crazy thing right there. Yeah. So yeah.
So I'm going to go back to that time because I think that really sort of set the stage for this because I'm just kind of continuing that pattern. And I think, and this is one of the books I do want to write at some point in the future, is there's a couple things. One, I have an amazing team that, you know, is just, you cannot do this kind of thing alone. So I have an amazing team. I have these amazing female founders who pick up some of this work to make it easier in Changing Tides. I have a great set of, you know, leadership team in Changing Tides that helps with all kinds of things. I mean, literally, we're also doing a game, by the way, a board game. Yeah. And so one of our leaders just proofed all of the comments and the questions and the cards and everything that goes into the game so we can send it off to get a sample done. So one created the game and the other one proofed the game. And I'm just like, that's great. Here's the money. Let's get a sample going, right? So I don't have to do a lot of that work. So that's key, is having a fantastic team. And the book I do want to write is, and I think, was it Michelle Obama? I can't remember, Michelle Obama or Melinda Gates who said this, one or the other. But the critical is having a great home team.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I have a unicorn husband who said, you know, what do you need? I mean, when I was in a sort of a fit about launching for revenue, because I'd already written the book that comes after it or part of it. And I realized I had to write that one first, but I didn't want to write now again. He basically took me out on a kayak and we were out in the middle of Tomales Bay and did the classic neuro-linguistic programming thing and said, I know you don't want to write anymore. I get it. That's fine. But if you were to write again, what would you need to make that possible? And because we were in the middle of the ocean and in a kayak, I didn't get the tool. I didn't see it coming. So I said, well, you know, if I were going to write again, I need that, listed off 7 things. He said, okay, I can do that.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, damn it.
He set me up.
He set me up and I fell for it. So, you know, I think that's critical, is having someone who can step back and say, look, I see this as possible for you, and I know you're frustrated right now, but I'm going to take all those things away.
Wow.
So you can go and do those things.
Yeah.
He's an amazing man. And I think that having someone who has that level of support for you, even when you can't see it yourself,
yeah,
makes it so possible. And I am serious. I see this with a lot of my female founders. I hear a lot of negative support happening from their partners.
Okay. Yeah.
And I realize that no matter how hard they try, it's going to be really hard for them to do it, because it's not okay at home.
Yeah. Yeah.
For them to go after those dreams. So, and I've talked to several therapists about this, and I've talked to several, you know, VCs about it and entrepreneurs about it. And I think there's a thing there.
Yeah.
That if you don't have that good home support, it's just never going to happen.
Yeah.
It's too hard a mountain to climb.
Yeah.
That you've got to have a good team at work. But if you don't have that good home team, it's really just too hard. So I think for me, it's all of those things, I'm very blessed, come together.
Yeah. Yeah. That's such a great message. And it's something that is a consistent theme in everything. You know, enormous amount of personal effort investment, but you don't do anything alone. You know, you have your home team, you have your work team, the Changing Tides books, you know, you brought together 14 other voices, the movement itself. We are all, you know, if we want to make change, if we want to share ideas, we can't be the only one. We have to get help, use help, ask for help, build community. That's great.
Which is something that I have learned. You know, yeah. When I was younger, it was all about if I can just be better, work harder, you know, everything's going to be okay. And I got to the point where it didn't matter how hard I worked, yeah, it was never going to be enough, right? So I sort of hit that wall. And so now I very much believe in that. I think it's the African proverb about, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together.
Yeah.
I love that. And so for me, like, people say to me, well, you know, Changing Tides is doing this, but, you know, so-and-so is doing that, and that's competitive. And I'm like, no.
Yeah, there's no competition.
No. I welcome them in, because we need a lot more programs.
Yeah.
So I'm very much about growing the pie and collaborating with competition, quote unquote, so that we can have more diversity of offerings for women founders.
Absolutely. Yeah. The idea of approaching this with a sense of scarcity, it's like, it doesn't make any sense. What?
There's a huge need, a huge need. Yeah. There's no way that Changing Tides can fill all of that. Yeah. And each one of those organizations does something different. So we willingly partner with, you know, folks that people might see as competitors to what we're doing. I'm like, no. Everyone needs something different.
Yeah.
You know, I had this comment from one of my mentors who I adore. He said, well, you know, there's so many women's conferences now. And I said, well, you know, there's been an awful lot of men's conferences for a long time.
No one said there's so many conferences for where it's mostly men. It's been done, right?
Right. And he was like, okay, touche. Gotcha. You know? But so I think there's plenty of opportunity. There's lots of need, you know, and collaborating with each other is the way that we will go far.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen to that. That's wonderful. Yeah. I love what you're doing. I'm really interested to see where it's going, especially because you are so driven by the community and its needs and adapting, you know, adaptable. I'm just excited to see where you go with it. It's very cool.
Me too.
Yeah.
Every day is a new day, I tell you. So it's been really fun to just see, what do people need? What do they really want? You know, where are the open spaces, right? One of the things about a crisis like this that we're in right now is that in every crisis, there is huge opportunity.
Yeah.
The challenge is trying to figure out where that is and moving into it.
Yeah.
So that's really where I spend a lot of my time as I'm doing my walks on the beach here, is like, okay, where are the opportunities and where do I create more opportunity for others by getting into that space and creating, you know, a forum within that opportunity?
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. And that's the mindset you need, you know, focused on a more positive vision of the future to pull us into it. And times like this are reset times. So this is exactly the time to be pushing those levers, to be thinking about what we need. Yeah, because there's a lot of resetting.
Exactly.
Thank you. Thanks, Jen, for chatting with me, taking time out of your busy time to do that. But I just love the message you have to share. I know a lot of people will find it very inspiring, and I appreciate it.
Great. Thank you.